a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Tuesday, October 29th, 2019 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild and dystopic ride it is, to be sure. Things have changed in this society in just a generation or two. It's been happening over quite some time, you know, more than 100 years. We talked about that recently. And it's interesting, you know, how we used to see things. And when it was first happening, or when it was in the earlier stages, I suppose, and we still had a hold of the vestiges of what it meant to have an American constitutional republic, to understand that spirit of individualism, to know, for instance, what Friedrich Hayek meant when he was talking about that concept of freedom that was adulterated by the folks who wanted to hijack this concept of political freedom that was inseparable from economic freedom, by the way. But what Hayek wrote in Chapter 2, The Great Utopia of the Road to Serfdom, to the great apostles of political freedom, the word had meant freedom from coercion, freedom from the arbitrary power of other men, release from the ties which left the individual no choice but obedience to the orders of a superior. to whom he was attached. The new freedom promised, however, was to be freedom from necessity, release from the compulsion of the circumstances which inevitably limit the range of choice of us, of all of us. The utopians always promise something, and it's funny how it's always elusive. It's just never, well, it just hasn't been tried quite right. And so we've embarked on the course of discussing the term democratic socialism. And over the past couple of weeks, this is the second week. And so we're going to continue talking about that, including socialism, including, well, some interesting talking points. And I want to go back to Ronald Reagan's Time for Choosing speech. Speaking of socialism, he touched on the issue of socialism, including discussion of Norman Thomas. And you will hear from the crowd's reaction what the American perspective used to be with regard to socialism. So anyway, this is Ronald Reagan, his speech that has come to be known as A Time for Choosing, 1964, Barry Goldwater presidential campaign trail. Go ahead, please.
In the last 6 years, 52 nations have bought $7 billion worth of our gold, and all 52 are receiving foreign aid from this country. No government ever voluntarily reduces itself in size. So government programs, once launched, never disappear. Actually, a government bureau is the nearest thing to eternal life we'll ever see on this earth. Federal employees, number 2.5 million. And federal, state, and local, 1 out of 6 of the nation's workforce employed by government. These proliferating bureaus with their thousands of regulations have cost us many of our constitutional safeguards. How many of us realize that today federal agents can invade a man's property without a warrant? They can impose a fine without a formal hearing, let alone a trial by jury. And they can seize and sell his property at auction to enforce the payment of that fine. In Chico County, Arkansas, James Weir overplanted his rice allotment. The government obtained a $17,000 judgment, and a U.S. Marshal sold his 960-acre farm at auction. The government said it was necessary as a warning to others to make the system work. Last February 19th at the University of Minnesota, Norman Thomas, 6 times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said if Barry Goldwater became president, he would stop the advance of socialism in the United States. I think that's exactly what he will do. But as a former Democrat, I can tell you Norman Thomas isn't the only man who has drawn this parallel to socialism with the present administration. Because back in 1936, Mr. Democrat himself, Al Smith, a great American, came before the American people and charged that the leadership of his party was taking the party of Jefferson, Jackson, and Cleveland down the road under the banners of Marx, Lenin, and Stalin. And he walked away from his party and he never returned till the day he died. Because to this day, the leadership of that party has been taking that party, that honorable party, down the road in the image of the Labor Socialist Party of England. Now, it doesn't require expropriation or confiscation of private property or business to impose socialism on a people. What does it mean whether you hold the deed to the or the title to your business or property if the government holds the power of life and death over that business or property, and such machinery already exists? The government can find some charge to bring against any concern it chooses to prosecute. Every businessman has his own tale of harassment. Somewhere a perversion has taken place. Our natural, unalienable rights are now considered to be a dispensation of government. And freedom has never been so fragile, so close to slipping from our grasp as it is at this moment.
There you go. Interesting, interesting stuff. Our natural inalienable rights are now considered to be a dispensation of government. And freedom, we got to define terms. Which one? The new freedom or the old freedom, so to speak? The old freedom has never been so fragile, so close to slipping from our grasp, as it is at this moment. Very, very interesting stuff. So that's kind of where we find ourselves today. And backing up, what did he mean? He says, Mr. Democrat himself, back in 1936, Mr. Democrat himself, Al Smith, the great American, came before the American people and charged that the leadership of his party was taking the party of Jefferson, Jackson, and Cleveland down the road under the banners of Marx, Lenin, and Stalin. And we've heard Norman Dodd and Anthony Sutton tell us what was going on with those parties. There was an irreconcilable conflict that was created, perpetrated, and perpetuated, according to Norman Dodd, and director of the Reese Committee. And according to Anthony Sutton, in his impeccable research, the same interests were fomenting all sides of this conflict. The same interests were raising up the elements of the Cold War. And we played Patrick Claussen's clip yesterday. Patrick Claussen told the world back in 2012, very simply, you know, foreign policy expert Patrick Claussen, told the world in no uncertain terms about the traditional way America gets to war, which is what? Essentially, it comes down to either false flag and or synthetic terror events, so to speak, which is interesting because we see a lot of those things have happened domestically, so to speak. And when you start to investigate, every time you start to investigate, there are peculiarities, inconsistencies, and coincidences that defy logic. And for those who know, that can't help but remind one of Trevor Aronson's 2015 TED Talk, how this FBI strategy is actually creating U.S.-based terrorists. Wherein Trevor Aronson said, after years of research, he's convinced that the FBI is better at creating terrorists than they are at catching them. But we heard Ronald Reagan say in 1964, as he was talking about Al Smith and the Democratic Party, he said he, Al Smith, walked away from his party and never returned until the day to the day he died, because to this day the leadership of that party has been taking that party, what did he say? Down the road in the image of the Labour Socialist Party of England. Huh. What does that mean? And so that's kind of where we find ourselves. That was 1964. Ronald Reagan on the presidential campaign trail for Barry Goldwater. So the discussion of democratic socialism arose earlier this month, and I mentioned that the Fabian Society are advocates, proponents of democratic socialism. And again, from the Wikipedia entry for the Fabian Society, this is no secret. They make no no bones about it. The Fabian Society is a British socialist organization whose purpose is to advance the principles of democratic socialism via gradualist and reformist efforts in democracies rather than by revolutionary overthrow. See, that's why everywhere is becoming a democracy. That's why suddenly, after, well, all of history, Afghanistan is now a democracy, or supposed to be anyway. These people in these little tribal villages that don't trust each other if they didn't grow up together, that's you know, another outmoded concept. If you're civilized, then you trust someone you've never met. Really? Seems pretty smart. You know, you don't know who this person is or what their interests are or who's gotten to them, so to speak. Who's bought them off. So even if you live in a neighboring village, historically, these people are skeptical. We don't know you. We didn't grow up with you. How can we trust you? So the the Labour Socialist Party of England. Very interesting. So continuing from the Wikipedia entry, the Fabian Society is a British socialist organization whose purpose is to advance the principles of democratic socialism via gradualist and reformist effort in democracies rather than by revolutionary overthrow. As one of the founding organizations of the Labour Representation Committee in 1900, and is an important influence upon the Labour Party, which grew from it, the Fabian Society has had a powerful influence on British politics. Yeah, and the world over. Other members of the Fabian Society have included political leaders from countries formerly part of the British Empire. Imagine that. Which will take us to Libya. We're getting there. Libya was under Muammar Gaddafi a bastion of Fabian socialism. We'll get there. It's ideal. It's the ideal form of socialism. We used to, in this society, we used to understand how valuable, how meaningful, how important, how invaluable, really, it is to decide for yourself. Most people these days don't recall. I mean, we really do live in a world or a society today in America, I would say, dominated by, as Peter Thiel put it in his talk with Tyler Cohen, these very unelected technocratic agencies, the fourth branch, the administrative fourth branch. And in a sort of fascist cabal, the oligopolistic marketplace that Patrick Porter talks about in his piece, Soldiers Fighting Alone. Wars of the Market Security State. Few people, I think, really recall, I don't know, back maybe in the 70s, the concept of small businesses that thrived and flourished without the multinational branding that everyone seems drawn to today. And now we see these commercials, side effects may include death. That's how far we've come in America. A far cry from where we once were. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back. It's interesting how quickly we can be sort of thrust into existentialist thought in this society just because of the very nature of the free time that we enjoy. I think of Ecclesiastes 3:22. To me, it's the meaning of life. Nothing is better than that man be happy in his activities, for that is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? If you're just happy in your activities, I mean, that's the wisest man in the world speaking. It's a pretty interesting concept, but the Western, particularly Christian world, has brought about some interesting changes, and then was used, I would say, hijacked. So, in simple terms, just from Hayek's "The Road to Serfdom," Chapter One, "The Abandoned Road," the essential features of that individualism, which, from the elements provided by Christianity and the philosophy of classical antiquity, was first fully developed during the Renaissance and has since grown and spread into what we know as Western civilization, are the respect for the individual man qua man, that is, the recognition of his own views and tastes as supreme in his own sphere, however narrowly that may be circumscribed, and the belief that it is desirable that men should develop their own individual gifts and bents. But continuing, skipping ahead, two things. He mentions the gradual transformation of a rigidly organized hierarchic system into one where men could at least attempt to shape their own life, where man gained the opportunity of knowing and choosing between different forms of life, is closely associated with the growth of commerce. That's provocative and calls to mind the Wealth of Nations. And then this as a final point. During the whole of this modern period of European history, the general direction of social development was one of freeing the individual from the ties which had bound him to the customary or prescribed ways in the pursuit of his ordinary activities. And so the defining feature of all of this, to me, is that it is largely, predominantly, and becoming increasingly entirely self-seeking. And that's not a good thing. That is the irony of what has been born out of this era from elements provided by Christianity and the philosophy of classical antiquity. That has since grown and spread into what we now know as Western civilization. And so from there, you know, if you can get folks to drift away from God, away from the Bible, the orthodoxy of the roots of the concept, that individualism, you know, to me, if there's anything redeeming about it, it gets back to the concept of the biblical Israel waiting for a king. Wait for a king. And using the same sort of impatience that is the latent tendency in us all against us now, you know, the same way that the biblical Israel was too impatient to wait for the king that God said would be coming. Your king is on his way, just wait. No, we need a king now. Everybody else has a king. Why can't we have a king? And so the operative concept in this Christian-oriented Western civilization was to wait for the king and occupy till he comes. But that implies a certain self-responsibility, certain self-administering of one's own life. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check, but there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000-plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
Aiding our allies by sharing of our material blessings with those nations which share in our fundamental beliefs. But we're against doling out money government to government, creating bureaucracy, if not socialism, all over the world. We set out to help 19 countries. We're helping 107. We've spent $146 billion. With that money, we bought a $2 million yacht for Haile Selassie. We bought dress suits for Greek undertakers, extra wives for Kenya government officials. We bought 1,000 TV sets for a place where they have no electricity.
Interesting stuff. You know, we used to feel differently about these things. We used to believe in the society that taking something from someone, giving it to someone else, was called theft. Now, you know, that's just good policy. That's good bureaucracy. We are against doling out money government to government, creating bureaucracy, if not socialism, all over the world. So what's been happening? Is the United States a proxy of the sort of British socialism, the Labour Socialist Party of England, as Reagan put it in 1964? Is that what's been happening? Because it sure seems like it. We're going to get into that today. But I want to back up a little bit again, returning to yesterday. You know, this is the issue, as Ronald Reagan pointed out in that famous speech, A Time for Choosing, 1964, Goldwater campaign trail, presidential campaign trail. As he put it, this is the last stand on earth. If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except to sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. And he said, this is the issue, whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. The truth is, slavery is easier, it's more comfortable, it's more convenient to a certain extent. As long as you have a benevolent dictator and as long as danger is a degree or two or three separated, it's not immediate danger. You know, side effects may include death, but that's an acceptable level of risk, they say. The actuaries tell us, you know, that's an acceptable level of risk. You have to have realistic risk tolerance, because without risk there's no reward. So, you know, playing on man's susceptibility and vulnerability to these age-old concepts is what we're talking about. That's why socialism appeals. You can get something for nothing and you don't have to be accountable. But that's not realistic. And when you start talking about socialism, the devil will come calling at some point. The devil's gift is an oxymoron. It's always an oxymoron. And so what is really meant by the Fabian Society and the advocates of this brand of democratic socialism, what they really mean, if you can cut through all the sophistry, is that you will be given enough to be somewhat comfortable. Everyone will be given, you know, probably in Marxist fashion, you know, from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs, that kind of nonsense. But really, it's an equal distribution in technocratic fashion. You'll get a chit, a token, from cradle to grave for the distribution of goods and services. And that's what you get. Unless you're one of the special people. And that there's always that. You're one of the deciding class. The plebs will get the token, and they'll get whatever it is that will make them comfortably numb and not interfere with the inner workings of things. And by the way, there will be social programs along the way that will probably cull the herd, shall we say. So, you know, those, and it comes down to a religious distinction And that's an interesting subject. I've mentioned a friend of mine called me once late at night. This was more than 10 years ago, and said, Chris, I just realized that communism is a religion. Larry sent me this pamphlet from 1902, Socialism and Collectivism. Pamphlet number one, second edition. The Collectivist Society Pamphlets. Number one, an exposition of socialism and collectivism by A. Churchman. That's 48 pages. Number two, the next step, a benevolent feudalism. A benevolent feudalism. Isn't that precisely what Congressman Jim Trafficant was talking about? A benevolent feudalism? And we need to define terms, starting with benevolent, I think. Depends on who you ask. Published by the Collectivist Society, New York, June 1902. June 1902. An Exposition of Socialism by A. Churchman. Number one, definitions. Although often used interchangeably, a distinction may well be made between the two terms socialism and collectivism. Collectivism is the newer word, first used by French writers and later by German and English, which sounds like the shift, the transition in intellectual thinking that Hayek talks about in The Road to Serfdom, to denote the economic side of socialism. That's collectivism. In brief, then, socialism is a doctrine, a belief, a religion. Semicolon. Collectivism is an external scheme, a proposed institutional system embodying more or less perfectly the idea of socialism. Socialism is the doctrine of the socialization of production and distribution. It starts by recognizing that the making and distributing of commodities are functions not of the individual but of society. It perceives that these functions can be rightly carried on only by being subject to the collective conscience and intelligence of society. But it doesn't work that way. You have to understand that we hear these things. That's what democratic socialism is. Everyone has a voice. Sure, everyone has a voice. That's true. To do what? It's mobocracy, this democratic voice. But it's not really an ocracy. It's just your opportunity to voice your concerns, and it becomes the tyrant's majority, especially with the propaganda machine we have in Western society today. Whoever introduces their own ideas in this society, who shows up at city council meetings on a regular basis, you know, how many people that show up at a city council meeting, and what is the how much of the general populace is represented in those city council meetings? What is the contingent? And how many of those folks show up with this sort of rugged individualist mindset in view? Usually it seems to me, when I watch proceedings or when I've attended them, that it's a docile, timid, huddled sort of mass, you know, that are too timid and too afraid to voice their legitimate concerns. But never mind those concerns, because the Delphi technique is in full effect, and so your legitimate concerns will be assuaged through things like the Delphi technique. Isn't that what we see happening in America? Where is the place where this community has an identity that dates back to whenever, that hasn't been conscripted to the devil's technocratic communitarian errand and lost its identity along the way? It's okay, we'll give you a new identity. And had people in this community infected with that mind virus and inculcated into a sort of learned, a state of learned helplessness? Where is the place that doesn't operate like that? That seems to categorize America these days versus the speech that Ronald Reagan gave in 1964, talking pretty openly about these things that now are suddenly lost ideals. We're against doling out money, government to government, creating bureaucracy, if not socialism, all over the world. People don't seem to understand. Even if the Federal Reserve is working with whatever agencies and partners and whatever, even if it's not taxes that are raised, you know, even the separation, the cognitive dissonance that Patrick Porter talks about, soldiers fighting alone, the wars of the market, security state, America is not at war, the Marines are at war, America is at the mall. You know, all of those things notwithstanding, we still have inflation. People don't understand. It's an invisible tax. Look at the hypothecation of currency over the last few decades in particular. I've talked several times about the fact that this is something that we are not, you know, supposed to know about. You look at the hypothecation of currency. Go to Wikipedia, for example, and look at the money supply entry. And you will see right at the beginning there, the relationship between money and prices has historically been associated with the quantity theory of money. There is a strong there is strong empirical evidence of direct relationship between the growth of the money supply and long-term price inflation, at least for rapid increases in the amount of money in the economy. For example, a country such as Zimbabwe, which saw extremely rapid increases in its money supply, also saw extremely rapid increases in hyperinflation. And then this to sort of eschew the real issue, to misdirect the reader away from the truth of the matter and the real remedy. This is one reason for the reliance on monetary policy as a means of controlling inflation. No, you need an honest money system, as they say. That's all. It's simple. Money backed by substance, any sort of substance. Alan Greenspan, gold and economic freedom. Gold and economic freedom. 1966, a couple of years after Reagan's Time for Choosing speech. Gold and economic freedom. And as Hayek points out in The Road to Serfdom, the political freedom that used to be espoused in this society is inseparable from economic freedom, gold and economic freedom. In 1966, Alan Greenspan wrote that under a gold standard, the amount of credit that an economy can support is determined by the economy's tangible assets. Since every credit instrument, what is that? Federal Reserve note. Since every credit instrument is ultimately a claim on some tangible asset, when did that stop in this country? Did it stop? When did it stop? Does anyone care? But government bonds are not backed by tangible wealth, only by the government's promise to pay out future revenues, future tax revenues, and cannot easily be absorbed by the financial markets. In the absence of the gold standard, there's no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation, Greenspan wrote. No safe store of value. This is the shabby secret of the welfare state's tirades against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth. Gold stands in the way of this insidious process. We'll be right back.
It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. I want to stick to the subject of democratic socialism, but you can't help but be drawn into these peripheral discussions, the economic discussion, for example. And again, Anthony Sutton said it in his 1976 lecture that we played. You know, one of the first areas, what were the two areas he said we should begin investigating and really reform and perhaps do away with? The Federal Reserve was one, this funny money system. A few callers have we've talked about this economic issue in the last week and a half. We've sort of touched on it. You know, the boom and bust cycles of the late 19th century, for example, and into the 20th century. The Morgan interests funding the PR campaign to break the money trust, which resulted in, you know, Jekyll Island, the Aldrich Bill, the Federal Reserve, all that stuff. President Garfield said, whoever controls the volume of money in our country is absolute master of all industry and commerce. And when you realize that the entire system is very easily controlled one way or another by a few powerful men at the top, you will have you'll not have to be told how periods of inflation and depression originate. And so if you go to the Wikipedia entry, and what happened to President Garfield? And so if you go to the Wikipedia entry for the money supply and click on the section under definitions of money, that's interesting, definitions. Definitions of money. There are definitions. First section under definitions is United States. And you can see that image, money supply during the Great Depression era. What happened? And the caption, money supply decreased by several percent between Black Tuesday and the bank holiday in March 1933 when there were massive bank runs across the United States. Oh, really? Was it an induced panic? I've mentioned Congressman Charles Lindbergh. He was the guy who said after the Federal Reserve Act was passed, you know, he, guys like Louis T. McFadden, others were very concerned. Lindbergh said, the act establishes the most gigantic trust on earth. When the president signs this bill, the invisible government of the monetary power will be legalized. The greatest crime of the ages is perpetrated by this banking and currency bill. Andrew Jackson, the guy whose face is on the $20 Federal Reserve note. Don't worry about that, because we're going to replace that with Harriet Tubman. I freed thousands of slaves. I could have freed thousands more if they'd known there were slaves. Ha ha, joke's on you, America. It's a, you know, putting Harriet Tubman's face on the $20 Federal Reserve note is insult to injury. Andrew Jackson was the guy who vetoed the renewal for the charter of the Second Central Bank of the United States, and he was very unequivocal in his efforts. In no uncertain terms did he warn us not to do this again. And you can go to the money supply entry on Wikipedia and see that the M3 was discontinued. The M3 aggregate back in 2006. I wonder why that is. Why wouldn't the Federal Reserve want to publish the M3 anymore? Isn't that interesting? Because it was a line straight up in the sky. It was a vertical line. And what does that mean for those who save? I digress. We'll get back to the discussion of democratic socialism when we come back. Second hour coming up right after the short break.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.